August 18, 2022. It is 11:03 a.m. My name is Siri Tonger. I am the Executive Assistant of the Monterey Bay Air Resources District. This is a conference call special meeting of the Hearing Board and is being recorded. Michael Guth, Hearing Board Chair, will conduct the meetings. Mr. Guth?
Oh, thank you for that. And I don't know if I'm the only one, but your audio is fading in and out when you're speaking. Was that unique to me?
Okay, I'll turn up the volume. I've been having problems with my desktop this morning, but I'll turn up the volume.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm hearing it too. It just seems to depend on whether you're facing the computer or not. So now it's nothing.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, quite clearly. Yes. It
so okay, I turned up the volume and I also am looking at the camera.
Okay, thank you. I think that the first order of business is for me to ask you to take the roll call unless I didn't hear you do it.
I will take the roll call, sir. Board Member Hall?
Here.
Board Member Dodge?
Here.
Chair Guth?
Here.
All are present. We have quorum.
Thank you for that. Before we get to the... Oh, first let me say it's nice to have a full board meeting, and I'm looking forward to sometime in the future to be able to have them in person down in Monterey. Before we get to the public hearing of item four, there's an opportunity for public comment for items that are not on the agenda. I don't know if we have members of the public who would like to speak on an item not on the agenda, but if there is one, please make your identity and desire known somehow, please.
Nothing was received at the district office for the special meeting regarding special meeting.
Okay, I keep hearing allusions to this, but thank you for that. I hear allusions to the special meeting. Am I going to ask you, am I on the wrong agenda?
Yes, there are two agendas. One is a special meeting concerning AB 361. So we can have virtual meetings that must be, the board must discuss. And Amy Climo, our compliance and engineering compliance manager, is ready to make a report if you would like.
Okay, I've got to apologize. I've got one agenda. It doesn't have that on it. I hadn't seen it. I haven't had a chance to read a staff report. Where was that relayed to me?
It was on the same email link of the report, the one that you have. I can resend it to you now. There were two links, one to a special board meeting with the link to the agenda and to both agendas. So there's two lines. So how would you like me to do it? Would you like me to put the link in the chat box and you open it up?
Yeah, let's do that. And I apologize to everybody. This is the first time I've ever had the agendas not sent to me and instead getting emails that are general notices that you click through. So this was a new experience for me. I understand that that's how the formal air board does it, the policy level board, but I'd never seen it before. So I've just got the agenda, one agenda. Let me look in the chat here. So I apologize for that. I don't see the link in the chat.
One moment. Does everyone see it?
Okay, so I see it now. So I guess I took things out of order. I went item four before item three. On this one, the reverse. So I'll go back to the formal item three, which is to receive a report on the status of AB 361. And as this is not a hearing, we don't, I guess I'll ask Sean, we don't have any concerns about testimony and swearing on things on this item, do we?
No, we don't. The board just needs to make the AB 361 findings in this meeting, then we'll close it out and go to the next meeting.
Thank you. So I'll ask Amy, is Amy going to be the presenter? Hi, Amy.
Yes. Good morning. I'm Amy Climo. I'm the Engineering and Compliance Manager here at the Monterey Bay Air Resources District. And this item is to, under AB 361, the requirements that I will recommend to you to continue having remote meetings. And under this, you are recommended to consider the circumstances of the state of emergency and find that the state of emergency continues to directly impact the ability of members to meet safely in person, and that the Monterey County Health Officer continues to impose or recommend measures to promote social distancing, and that Monterey County notice was included as an attachment to the report. And so we're requesting that the board approve continued remote meetings for the next 30 days. And with that, I'll conclude my report.
Thank you. I'd like to hear comments from the other board members if they have any to make, please.
This is Ann Hall. My preference, at least in the short term, would be to continue remote meetings. I do like meeting in person better, but at this time, I think I'd still be in favor of remote meetings.
Thank you, Ms. Hall. Mr. Dodge?
I would just like to make a motion that we support this agenda item. I know COVID's still around here in Watsonville. I had it a couple weeks ago myself, so it's still out here. And so I would like to make a motion that we continue to be allowed to meet online for the next 30 days.
I'll second that. And then I'd like to make a comment. So when I did say earlier, I'm looking forward to getting back together in person, I did not mean so soon though. So I'm in support of this. So Siri, can you take a roll call on this, please?
Yes. Chair Guth?
Yes.
Board Member Dodge?
Aye.
Board Member Hall?
Aye.
Passed unanimously.
Thank you for that. I believe now we would switch. Do we close it? Do I want to close this hearing?
Yeah,
first?
Adjourn the meeting, please.
Let me just take a quick look at that agenda again. I believe that we've completed the items and I can adjourn this meeting. So I'd like to adjourn the special meeting.
Okay, so we're on the same ID and I will be able to give the next meeting. Today is Thursday, August 18th, 2022. It is 11:11 a.m. My name is Siri Tonger. I am the Executive Assistant of the Monterey Bay Air Resources District. This is a conference call hearing on an application for a short-term variance filed by DBW Power Company, docket number 22-001. This hearing is being held in the presence of the hearing board and is being recorded. Michael Guth, Chair, will conduct the meeting. Chair Guth?
Thank you for that. I'm going to now ask you to take a roll call, please.
All right. Chair Guth?
I'm present.
Board Member Dodge?
Present.
Board Member Hall?
Present.
We have quorum.
Great, thank you for that. I'll go on to item number 3, which is a public comment for items not on the agenda. And if there's anyone here who would like to speak on an item not on the agenda, now is your opportunity to make yourself known and have an opportunity to do so.
No public comments were received at the district office.
Very good. Okay, we'll move on to item 4, which is a public hearing on docket number 22-001, short-term variance. I'm going to start by administering oaths to various people that may be giving testimony. And I do have a list of, somewhere here, excuse me one second. I do have a list of airborne staff that may testify, but I don't have a full list of petitioners personnel, is there, can I get from petitioner who they, the names of the people they may believe may be testifying today?
Yeah, this is Paul Mansfield. I'm the director of facilities down here at DBW Power. I will be testifying, as well as I believe Kenda Brown is online somewhere. Like, say we were having problems with the whole Zoom meeting a little bit. She is president of Cal Microturbine, is an authorized service provider for our Capstone turbines.
Excellent. Thank you, Paul. So I'm going to read the oath once.
And also, then read Chairman, out. I'm sorry to interject here. I'm also representing Veritas. My name is Rich Tangway.
Okay, Rich, thank you. Right.
And I'm the VP of facilities. But Paul's probably going to give you most of the detail because he's a lot more qualified than I am.
Thank you. Thank you for that. So what I'd like to do is read the oath once and then read these seven names that I have one at a time and get an affirmation from each person one at a time. So I'm going to ask, I'll read all the names first and then go back one at a time. I'm going to ask Amy Climo, Teresa Sewell, Armando Jimenez, Sandy Hartunian, Paul Mansfield, Kendra Brown, and Rich Tangway to take the following oath. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Amy Climo?
I do.
Thank you. And if I mispronounce anybody's name, I apologize. Please take an opportunity to correct me later. Teresa Sewell?
I do.
Thank you. Armando Jimenez?
I do.
Thank you. Sandy Hartunian?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Paul Mansfield?
I do.
Thank you. Kendra Brown?
I do.
Thank you. Rich Tangway?
I do.
Thank you for that. So the order that we're gonna go is we're gonna ask the petitioner to present, and then we're gonna ask the staff to present. I am going to reserve almost all of my questions until I've heard from both parties. But I don't want my fellow board members to feel constrained about asking questions or even interjecting at any point, but I'm going to suggest that we get as far through as we can and then come back in with questions. So I expect Mr. Mansfield, is it that you'd like to present here for petitioner?
Sure. Give her my go. So I'm Paul Mansfield, Director of Facilities down here. We are running four 1 megawatt microturbine sets, Capstone microturbine CS1000s. Each one of them has five 200 kilowatt turbines in a package. We, per our PTO permit to operate, we have to do source testing once a year. So we scheduled source testing on July 26th and 27th, and we have eight stacks to test. Three sets of microturbine are combined together to feed a absorption chiller. And then we have five microturbines that individually stack. So we have eight stacks that we test. On those days, we identified that three stacks failed, microturbine one, microturbine two, and microturbine 4B failed our PPM NOx limit. So we decided, because we didn't know what was going on, we decided to get a short-term variance application put in and get a hold of Cal Microturbine, who is the authorized service provider for our Capstone turbines, and get them on site. We got them on site on 8-2 and 8-3, and we pulled out their six injectors per turbine. We ended up pulling out 66 injectors inspecting. We found two that were burnt in microturbine one set, and a couple that were plugged and discolored and misshaped in microturbine two set and 4B. Replaced them with new, did a spot check with a Testo 300 handheld O2 analyzer, O2 NOx analyzer. Looked like we're back kind of on track. So we scheduled Alliance to come back in and do retesting. Alliance was back in on the 15th and 16th of August, this week, Monday and Tuesday. And we are now currently in compliance of our permits on all our stacks. So the variance, we put it in because we didn't know how long, we didn't know what we were up against. It's the first time having to deal with this. We thought maybe it was the right decision to go this direction. And that's kind of where we're at right now.
Thank you for that. I'm going to ask staff to present a report, but I'll just mention to my fellow board members that when I do circle back around, I'm going to have questions about the maintenance schedules and whether they're adequate. And in other words, how do we know this isn't just going to happen again in 40 days from now? Whether the retest, there needs to be advanced retest schedules, what might have happened, and the like. But I'll stop there and ask staff to present. And is that going to be you, Amy?
It's going to be Sandy Hartunian.
Okay, Sandy.
Yes.
Do any of my fellow board members have any questions at this point?
No.
Not at this time.
Thank you. So I don't see Sandy. Do I see Sandy? Oh, there we
go. Right here.
Okay. Misnamed, that's all.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Sandy Hartunian, air quality inspector in the compliance division at Monterey Bay Air Resources District. I am presenting the staff report this morning to regarding the variance, which is to allow the operation of the natural gas fueled microturbines, which were out of compliance with permit conditions 3. On three permits to operate. That would be PTO 210022, 0023, and 0025, respectively. The staff report and the following discussions are based on observations during the testing and the information included in the variance application, which is subject to change based upon the hearing today. As an inspector, I am required to observe source testing, and so that's what I did at with DBW Power Company in King City on July 25th and 26th. July 25th was a Monday, and when I went there, the Alliance was there setting up, so they were calibrating, doing test runs. Unfortunately, that day I didn't observe or witness official testing. I did go back on the 26th, observe their official testing, and that's when I observed the failed tests of microturbines 1, 2, and 4B. And at that time, I discussed with Mr. Paul Mansfield his options and applying for a variance. And so, so they did show the final results showed that they exceeded 9 ppm. Mr. Mansfield soon got Alliance back, and not Alliance, but his technicians and I think Cal Michael Turbin came in and they did some tune-ups, whatever they did, and then they felt it was time for them to do a retest. That retest was conducted this week on Monday the 15th and 16th, and I was there on both days when I witnessed their passing of those the emission standards of 9 ppm. The source test was the first one for the company because they just received their initial permit last year in August. And we noted no prior violations in the past year at all. The following are recommendations by MBARD. We request to add conditions 5 and 6 as part of the variance. Condition 5 requires operation of the equipment in accordance with good air control practices for minimizing emissions at all times, including malfunctions. Adding condition number 6 requires, or condition, I'm sorry, number 6 requires demonstration of continuous compliance with NOx emission limits in condition 3 by performing annual performance tests. And then adding a condition to the order for the petitioner to update their 4 existing microturbines permits to include a condition to monitor NOx emissions with a handheld analyzer on a more frequent basis than annual testing. We don't know what that is. We're going to let the petitioner, I suppose, tell us a little bit more about that. Finally, staff does not oppose the variance request. Thank you.
Mr. Guth, you're on mute.
Sandy, you gave a numbered list of recommendations. I couldn't hear number two clearly. Could you repeat number two, please?
Which is the fine. Okay, yes. Add a condition to the order for the petitioner to update their four existing microturbine permits to include a condition to monitor the NOx emissions with a handheld analyzer on a more frequent basis than just an annual testing.
Thank you for repeating that.
This is Amy. I just wanted to add two additional items. One, staff does not believe that operating these microturbines out of compliance with their NOx emission limit would result in a nuisance. And then for the excess emissions, we took the variance term as August 3rd to August 30th, which is 28 days. And based on the excess emissions, the excess emissions fee would be $1,588. That concludes staff's report.
Thank you for that. I'd like to start with a few questions, and then I'll ask my colleagues also if they have questions and maybe come back with some more. So to hear that this was the first source test, I'll ask Mr. Mansfield, Mr. Tangway, had you done informal testing during the last year, or is this your first test, this one that was out of compliance?
This was our first formal test. We had no other testing since March of 21.
Okay, how about any informal handheld tests just out of, separate from
formal testing? Nothing.
Okay, so I want to promote a discussion with my colleagues on this front. I reviewed the Capstone operating manual and their emissions booklets and their maintenance guides. And, you know, they do talk about having to replace or clean air filters on certain schedules. I could bring those up just to show you the documents that I'm drawing on. This particular one, and these are referenced in the operation manuals. This is the standard maintenance schedule. And it doesn't appear to me that they've gone outside. In other words, one concern I had was the power company not abiding by recommended maintenance schedules? And to my eye, they don't appear to be. But the injector assemblies are viewed as, if I'm reading this right, and I believe I am, to be replaced every 16,000 hours. So that's about every 2 years, but you're less than a year. So that's one thing I wanted people to see. The other thing that caught my eye is in the user manual, and that is this document here, that on page 71, it talks about cleaning a filter. Oh, here we go. It talks about how it can be problematic to run these in very dusty environments. I have a professional colleague that owns a space and does a business very close to this facility, and but also works up and down the state. And I called to ask about how dusty it was down there, and I didn't tell him why I was asking, and he said he thought it was the dustiest place in California, King City, near the airport. So that can change the inspection schedules. It says right here that areas subject to airborne dirt or dust will require a significant reduction in this interval. So with that sort of as the background, I want to say that I appreciate what's been done so far. I appreciate staff being involved. I appreciate what seems like a very forthcoming set of communications from the petitioner. And my concern is not so much that we can't make the findings, although I'm open to hear my colleagues' comments, but what are we doing to make sure that we don't just authorize something that fails in 3 weeks and goes 11 months out of spec, that we have better follow-up. And that would include, I think, some understanding, and this may come from Ms. Brown, like what happened here and how do we know it won't happen again? So I have a few questions for, like, you know, maybe it's Kendra Brown. If having heard those comments, do you have any feedback that you can give with regard to what you think happened and how we think it won't happen again?
Yes. So the microturbines are a low emission technology. We routinely test, where our emission spec is published at 9, but we routinely test quite a bit lower than that in ideal operating conditions. We publish at 9, obviously, because there are instances, you know, with, like you mentioned, air filters and things like that, that can impact emissions. And so 9 is something we feel comfortable with. In this particular situation, I will say that we do have a service contract, and we are performing, we carefully track the hours on the systems and perform scheduled maintenance as prescribed and have been. Since the site was commissioned, there's frequent communication between our team and the DBW team. So what happened here, this site's a little bit unique in that with most of our sites, like Paul mentioned, there are 5 200 kilowatt engines in each package. And so at most sites, we test each one of those individually as opposed to a group of them all together. So this was unique for us. What ultimately we discovered caused for the higher NOx emissions were a couple of injectors. So like Paul mentioned, each bay has 6 injectors. So each package has 30 injectors. So, and then 4 C1000, so 120 injectors. And I think we found 3 that had more wear than what we would expect at 10,000 hours. So those were replaced and immediately corrected the issue. I would say 16,000 hours is the preventative prescribed maintenance interval to replace the injectors. And more often than not, that is sufficient. But, you know, what I will say is that, you know, you mentioned, will it be out of compliance again in 3 weeks? Certainly not. You know, it's something that, you know, injectors are something that are on hand, very easy to replace. And, you know, I've talked with Paul and his team, and they do have plans to use, they purchased a Testo analyzer, and I know they have plans to check on a more frequent basis informally. And if there is any issue whatsoever with the hardware, then, you know, we'll be able to supply the parts and change them immediately. So, and I think that's demonstrated by how quickly we were able to respond. I mean, we found out there was an issue, we're out the next week and replaced it the week after that. And these are not difficult things to address if there ever is a premature instance where there is wear on the injectors.
So thank you very much for that, those details. I'll just ask as a follow-up. So is this outside your expectation that these kinds of foulings and problems with injectors would have happened at, what are we, basically 11 months in?
I mean, 3 out of, I think, 120, based on my experience, is that I would say it's a little bit unexpected to have 3 out of 120. I suppose, you know, possible, obviously possible, given what we witnessed here. I don't know. We don't have an explanation for it. I'm not an emissions expert, but I do know that the geometry of the injectors is what allows Capstone to achieve the ultra low emissions without any post-combustion treatment of the emissions. And so when there is wear, premature wear on those injectors, then, you know, this can be the result. So I think, you know, I think closer monitoring, like what Paul has, you know, proposed is a satisfactory solution to ensure that this does not happen again.
And a final question before I turn it over to my colleagues. So I brought up the maintenance, the capstone maintenance thing that talks about 16,000 hour injection system replacement. Is that a guideline that you feel you are going to be working under?
Absolutely, yes. So we carefully monitor the hours on the equipment and order parts 90 days in advance of the anticipated scheduled maintenance date. And then also anytime that we are on site for any unplanned maintenance, if we were to discover an issue like this when working on something else, it would be addressed at that time. But yes, the service contract that DBW purchased covers all planned and unplanned maintenance. And so it is our obligation to them to provide all those planned maintenance parts at the prescribed intervals.
Excellent, thank you. So I'll stop there and I'll ask Member Hall, would you like to chime in here?
I don't have any further questions at this point. I think you covered a lot of ground already.
Okay, thank you. Member Dodge?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. They're pretty much aligned to the kind of questions that you're asking. When you guys found out that these turbines weren't working, how long have you guys known that for?
The day of the performance test.
So in other words, they might have been non-functioning for a while, correct?
Possible.
I would say it's so the site was commissioned about a year ago. Mm-hmm. And the wear that we saw is not something that would have happened overnight. So my expectation is that it was fairly close to the test state that that they would have gone out of compliance, because it's not something that you turn it on and a month later you'll have an issue. This is truly something that we'd expect to see closer to or after the 16,000 hours. And you know, as you can see, out of 120, only we found three that had issues. So I just think that with more diligence and informal testing, it's very easy to address.
Okay. Well, yeah, just something to bring up. Just another question, again, following Mr. Chair's, you know, researching. The fact that the chair said that the area has a lot of wind and dirt, what are you guys doing to prevent, to make sure this doesn't happen again?
So this is Paul with DBW. We change out on each one of these capstones, there is a primary filter. That one will be changed out when it comes up on maintenance life. But in front of that primary filter is a disposable pleated filter, and then a cleanable mesh, kind of a stainless or aluminum mesh filter. We take those out quarterly, clean them, and we replace the disposables quarterly. That is above what we would believe would be normal conditions. In normal conditions, you'd probably only do that once a year, or maybe once every 6 months. But because we are in a high wind, high dust area, we do it quarterly.
Mr. Dodge?
Okay. Oh, sorry. I hope, it can be checked more than just normal, if it can be checked a little bit more. But other than that, I'm good. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I want to review some of the findings between the three of us on the board to see that we're content with them. But I also want to follow up on what you said, Mr. Dodge, which is, so I think what I'm hearing is it sounds like we have conscientious power company with good service people, but nonetheless, something unexpected happened. And we're hearing from the technical specialist or the person who has a lot of experience with these things, Ms. Brown, that feels that it happened closer to a year in and not 3 weeks in. But we have a permit that has certain conditions. The question is whether they're adequate. Mm-hmm. Or and whether or not I think we have the authority, and you know, we could request as part of this granting of the variance, and we could have that discussion with staff and council, but that for 1 year only, we did like a 4 month and 8 month test, and then the 12 month test to sort of see if we can see where these things happen, if at all, you know, to see if the existing permit conditions are adequate, and this, you know, that it, we can see that it's clean at 4, clean at 8, and if we ever have problems at 12, it's sort of just catching it. I don't know how burdensome of an expense these tests are to the company. Can I get some feedback? I see you nodding your head, Mr. Tangway. Can you share with me how burdensome the tests are?
Yeah, they are. They are burdensome, and Paul can speak to the specifics of it. I mean, not only from you know, managing personnel out on the pad to have Alliance in to run these tests. It is a costly. I believe it's $16,000 per to have them come out to run all these stacks. So four times a year would be a little onerous. If there is some way we could, you know, meet some type of middle ground and be able to do or use our handheld to verify, I think that would greatly help our operations. And tell me if I'm speaking out of line, Paul.
No, that's what I would hope to. Keep in mind, everybody, that we have 20 of these units. I don't need all 20 at all times running. So when we do find one that maybe is going out of compliance or starting to maybe trend up, we could take that out very easily and use another standby unit. So it's not like it's most other places have one turbine. You know, when they fail, they got to shut down, lose everything. We have a little leeway that could help us out. So I would like to maybe suggest that we use our handheld Testo 300 if it's applicable for this instance. Maybe do, I don't know, maybe once a week we test one stack. So every 2 months we'd be testing, you know, a stack over again with the 8 stacks.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for that feedback. I wasn't suggesting that we change like the permit to do test quarterly testing. I was thinking for 1 year only, we do 2 extra tests to characterize it and hope everything's okay and then resume using the permit. So I don't know if I had made that clear, but I do understand the feedback. I want to ask now, Amy and your colleagues, from your point of view, if there were handheld monitoring done, can for like every 2 months for a year or every 2 months permanently, how effective is that? How different is that than formal tests? And how comfortable are you with those kinds of thoughts?
So yes, that was our recommendation, was to adjust the permits to include at some frequency that they do handheld analyzers for NOx emissions. And we believe that is sufficient representation of what's going on. I do want to point out that we have to do conditions on the order that are within the variance term. So we can't really require them to do something in a year from now because the term of the variance is only 30 days. And so that's why we worded the condition in the draft order and in our staff report that they would submit an application in the variance term to adjust the conditions on their permit. And then we would then work with the petitioner past the variance term and get the frequency on those permit conditions adjusted.
Very good. Thank you for that clarification. I see yes. What you're up to. Very good.
No problem.
Well, I'm not quite sure where to go. I guess I'll quickly put up the findings for a quick discussion. Let me find them here. We have a draft. I mean, ultimately, someone's going to have to make a motion, and we're going to have to vote on whether or not to grant this and with what conditions. And I will put this up as a draft. This is only a draft. Is there any problem putting the draft order up publicly in this meeting? I hope not.
Sir, before you go forward, I believe in the agenda, must call for public comments.
It's already been put up.
Okay.
No, I've got it. I just wanted to make sure there's not a problem displaying this publicly as a draft. So what I wanted to discuss quickly was The closing or taking with would be without a corresponding benefit in reducing air contaminants. Well, it seems to me if you shut everything off, you reduce air contaminants. I'm not always comfortable with these blanket statements, but I'll ask my colleagues if they've got any suggestions for change to this or whether, as we move through them, they're comfortable with the language of this, finding A, I think, is straightforward. They're in violation. If anybody has anybody has something to say about that, please interrupt me at any time. Finding B is that it's beyond the reasonable control of the petitioner and that it would close. And one of the questions I have is, if you've got a big facility that's getting power from you and you could only provide 80% of their load, does that really kill the user's business? And maybe it does. I don't know. Mr. Tangway or Mr. Mansfield, can you talk to that? Like, do you have a view of that? Because you're talking about your end user's use, but they're not the petitioner, you are.
Yeah, well, hi, this is Rich Tangway again. So when we had asked for the variance, that was an answer to a question which does relate to our production. We don't have any backup for that particular phase of power that we're using. And that power generates all of the lighting for five grow rooms, five flower rooms, 10,000 square feet, and 16,000 square feet of nursery operations, along with all of the HVAC, air conditioning and heating for those rooms. So if we reduced any amount, we would jeopardize plants because the plants are grown in an indoor environment that's highly controlled, and we need to be using our facility at 100%. Otherwise, we start to generate massive losses.
Okay, thank you for that. I'm going to suggest to my colleagues that we modify this to address the reasonable control. I would think, based on the testimony given today, that they're unable to comply because of something that was outside their reasonable control. They have been operating with competent service personnel using state-of-the-art equipment per the operation manuals, and nonetheless, they went out of spec, and that was out of their reasonable control because they had reasonably acted to follow all guidelines. So I'd like to get an additional sentence in there to address at least the first part of that finding, that this has been outside the reasonable control of petitioner because they've been doing everything by the book. And as we know, this is a learning experience and we're going to corral it in, hopefully. But that would be my comment on finding B. Finding C, this one has always been troubling to me. I don't know if any of my colleagues have a comment on this. Ms. Hall, how do you deal with this one generally?
So for finding C, I mean, the closing of it, what would be gained by closing it? Is there going to be insurance of better air quality? And how does that balance against the operation of the business? Obviously, if they closed, they couldn't operate at all, which would definitely have impacts. To me, I usually don't see justification for a complete closing if there's not an imminent danger to the public. That's my opinion.
Okay. I will express that I'm mildly uncomfortable with the general nature of this, but I'm not going to ask for a change, and I would vote for it as we go through. The next one is number D, and is curtailing operation. I think that it feeds back into this idea of the loss of business, I'm comfortable with the statement that they'll only run failed turbines as supply load is needed. Mr. Dodge, Ms. Hall, any comments on this?
No, not at this moment, no.
No, I'm okay with it.
And E is one I am comfortable with because they have made tried to limit the use of these. Although I have a question about that. So, and this might also be for Ms. Brown. So I read the control system methodology for this thing, and you mentioned groups, and they have a hierarchy of groups. And if you have a control system that has a group that includes one with bad emissions, you're not really able to turn that single one off. Is that true, or am I seeing it wrong?
No, we are able to turn a single unit off and have other units selected to run as necessary. So that is possible.
Very good. Okay, thank you.
I have a quick question, if that's okay.
Yes, absolutely.
For some reason, if you know contaminants start coming out, you guys say you guys would pay a fine. Is that what I heard at the beginning?
I don't recall that.
Okay.
Oh, I don't recall that either.
Okay. If for some reason high levels of emissions are coming out, what happens? Like through one that's damaged?
If we identify that one, we just take it offline and then go forward on repairs, notifications and repairs.
Okay.
Are you able to repair one when the adjacent two on each side are firing?
Yes.
Yes, we can. You can take any one of the five down one at a time. You can take three out of five down. They're cabinetized.
That was my question for right now. Thank you.
Thank you. So looking through the order, we have a conditions. Now I want to get to the condition that we were made aware of, I was made more clearly aware of just a few minutes ago, that the word, I remember seeing this now, and that on a more frequent basis seems a little loose. So I want to hear first, like from the petitioner, if you're going to talk about handheld analyzers, I already asked you about the formal test being a burden. How burdensome is handheld analyzer, for example, every month?
To do all of them in once a month, because we would want to single out the turbines, it would take 4 or 5 hours for a person to go out there and go through all of them. And we'd have to do it at certain times of the day to be able to take enough load down. Not impossible, though.
Okay, so, I mean, the options are from, you know, perhaps once every 6 months, once every 4 months, once every 3 months, which is quarterly, you know, every day, which is crazy. I think we need to, I would be more comfortable if we, instead of saying on a more frequent basis, say, put a maximum on how much it could be, which shall be at least once every, in I could think 2 months. I'd like to ask staff who prepared this proposed condition for us, if, for example, something like 2 months seems appropriate or is too much.
I think we proposed it in a way because we were looking for the petitioner when they submit the application to have a conversation with us about what frequency would make sense. This condition really is just to get them to turn in the application so we can have a conversation of what frequency makes sense. That was our intent.
No, and I appreciate that clarification. I'm not sure it quite solves where we are. Like you get more support if there's a maximum. I mean, if you feel like every 3 months is appropriate, let's say, and they want every 6 months, if the condition says no, on a more frequent basis, that shall be no more than X, once every X months. you have a backstop from us, whereas you don't otherwise. So I appreciate that it was going to be a conversation. Let me ask you, is staff comfortable with there being a maximum put in here, explicit maximum?
Yeah, I think we quarterly would probably be reasonable as a frequency.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
And I think based on what I heard from petitioner, I'm not going to feel like they're overburdened with a quarterly handheld analyzer test. Any thoughts from my colleagues on that?
I agree with your idea that there should be some number. More frequent does sound kind of vague, but staff said that, you know, quarterly or there's a number that they're looking at. So I agree with staff and I agree with you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
I would
Ms. Hall, please. Yes.
Yeah, no, I just said I support your comments.
Chairperson.
I noticed this highlighted. I'm sorry, go ahead, Mr. Tangway. Is that you?
Sorry, Chairman. I was just getting back to what you had mentioned earlier from a clarification about the frequency. Would it be acceptable to the board for us to do testing every 4 months, which will get you 2 interim testings during the year, and then our annual testing with Alliance?
I'm going to ask Amy, can you chime in here? We heard quarterly from you as a limit. I'm comfortable with quarterly. We're not talking too big of a difference here.
Yeah, I'm trying to defer to Armando, our permit engineer, just to check with him with his thoughts.
So the question is, you said changing the frequency from quarterly to every 4 months?
Yeah.
If he's going to speak to us, I think I've got to put him under oath.
Right? Yeah, he did. You did. That's why I deferred to him.
Okay. I can't quite hear him at that distance.
From the sure.
Mic. Yeah. No, I think every 4 months, and how old you'll be doing the testing, you'll be testing. I think at the beginning, you mentioned that you will test about every month one unit and then be testing the other ones after each month. Paul?
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, maybe just do maybe one a week, one stack a week, 8 stacks. So it would end up being like every other month, just with the handheld, where I'm not doing all of them at one time, where just it's a big burden.
Yeah.
I mean, just to clarify our operations for everyone, you know, Paul and our facility staff isn't only taking care of a CHP plant. They are responsible for the operations of the whole facility, which is a 400,000 square foot building, all the infrastructure within the 160,000 square foot processing and cultivation areas. And so even though it sounds like a small burden to do it every 3 months, I'm just trying to, you know, act in good accordance, because I believe, as Kenda said, that this didn't happen overnight. It was a buildup or an issue with some componentry that was outside of our ability to track. And I think if we can get it in, and I'm fine if we do 3 or 4. And I just wanted to let you know that it's more than just running the CHP plant for a burden from us, from a startup business here in King City. I just wanted to clarify that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Now, actually, I'm starting to see a problem on our side. If we can do, I believe, is require a permit condition that during the term of this variance that this application goes in. And I think that once that application goes in, the authority over the specific terms of it probably isn't ours anymore. That goes to the Air Board proper. And I want to ask staff if that is their viewpoint. And so that perhaps.
Yes, I would say, Mr. Guth, that's why we worded this way because we wanted to have the conversation with the petitioner about what frequency would make sense. Quarterly, every 4 months, you know, is pretty close to the same thing. So that's why we worded it that way, so we can have that conversation.
Okay, thank you. So I'm uncomfortable if this was a final order, the final detail, more frequent basis, but given that our authority is going to cease in 12 days and then perhaps we can just leave that in. I'm glad we had this conversation here though now, just so we can all have an understanding of what we're doing with that condition. So we have a highlighted number 4 underneath the number 4, and I guess that was once again, like, is it a question about us making a recommendation so that when this application goes in, there's additional requirements, or was there an expectation that we might be asking for more reporting now during this variance term? And
Chair Guth, we just put that in because this was a draft order. We weren't sure what was going to occur during the hearing, and we left this as a placeholder in the event that the hearing board had additional conditions or reporting requirements that they so choose to add. And if not, that could be deleted and then the numbering is still correct.
Very good. So that's an opportunity for us, any one of us, to suggest further conditions or reporting requirements be included in the application that's going to be submitted. So I don't know if we have any. Member Dodge.
Just a quick question. Did we hear back from the general public or anything, like through emails or anything like that?
Thank you for asking. No public comments were received at the district office.
Thank you very much.
Well, I think we've gone over, I mean, there are other ones that I don't feel, well, they're very important, but I don't believe them to be controversial. And that's, you know, that anything goes wrong, the staff has to be immediately let, will be made immediately aware. I think the main one is, if there were to be a motion, would this be, I think I'm getting more comfortable now with on a more frequent basis, although we could certainly say that their application has to say that they'll do it at least every 4 months. Or every 3 months, I'm going to take the applicant on good, a petitioner on good faith that when they're talking about 3 or 4 months, that they're not going to be resistive to that kind of suggestion from staff during the application process. Would my faith be misplaced, Mr. Tangway, if we left it loose like this?
Absolutely. Mr. Mansfield? Absolutely not.
Very good.
Absolutely not.
Okay. So, try to remember if we had something that needed, I suggested if there was a motion that we add in something on the out of reasonable control of the, let me find it. I'm sorry, sort of scroll through like this. That there be an additional sentence if we were to approve this finding B that says the circumstances are beyond the reasonable control of the petitioner as they have taken all recommended maintenance and monitoring steps at all points, and we're unable to foresee this circumstance. Just one sentence. And so I've sort of dominated so much. Ms. Hall, I'd love to hear comments from you, and Mr. Dodge.
I don't have any additional comments at this point.
If that one sentence is added, does it change the dynamics of this draft?
Well, in my view, it doesn't. In my view, it makes it a more defensible finding. We can make it whatever findings we want. If somebody looks over our shoulder like they do occasionally, I want to make sure we've done our job to meet the finding clearly, because there are circumstances where we're not going to be able to meet them. And that reasonable control thing, I think we could fill in the finding discussion better to help make it clear to others why we made the finding.
Do we need to make a motion to have that sentence inserted?
So is that a motion to approve the draft with that change?
I would like to make a motion to approve this draft.
With or without that suggested change?
With the suggested change.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second that motion.
Siri, could we have a roll call, please?
Yes. One moment, please. I'm writing it down. All right. Board Member Hall?
Aye.
Board Member Dodge?
Aye.
Chair Guth?
Yes.
Approved unanimously.
I'd very much like to thank everybody who testified. Petitioners were very forthcoming and informative, and staff, you got everything covered. This was great. I appreciate the support very, very much.
Thank you all.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, staff, and all the presenters this morning, thank I guess you. We are.
Well, I'm gonna ask Siri before I move to item 5 adjournment if there's anything I've overlooked or that we've postponed or that I need to circle back to before adjournment. Oh, you're muted. Siri, you're muted.
No, I don't have anything for you, sir, unless council has something.
No, I think we're good.
Thank you, Sean. Any last words for my fellow commissioners before I adjourn?
I'm glad to be here. I know I'm new here. I look forward to serving as a member on this board, since it's important that we take care of our air and do our best to keep it clean. So thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you. Okay, with that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ann. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Ann. I didn't know if you...
Oh, no problem. No, I don't. Just glad to be here helping out on the board.
Thank you all. Okay, with that, I will adjourn the meeting. Thanks again to everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.